So, first of all, thank you.
Can you hear me, please? Can you hear me
In
now?
and take the floor. I think 1:30 should be possible, so that hopefully a lot of colleagues can take the floor. Thank you very much to everybody. And now, Mrs. Jourova, I want to suggest to give you the floor.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Please, can you hear me well? Yes, great. Thank you very much. First, I would like to start by thanking you for inviting Commissioner Reynders and myself to present the Commission's first annual Rule of Law report, which was published on the 30th of September. And I know that the rule of law is a topic that is close to the heart of COSAC, and that you have discussed this several times in the past years, for example, last year during the Finnish Council presidency. The rule of law, like democracy and fundamental rights, is one of the values on which the Union is founded, as stated in the Article 2 of the Treaty on the European Union. The rule of law is of fundamental importance because it guarantees the protection of all other values, including democracy and respect for fundamental rights. Moreover, the rule of law plays a crucial role for the functioning of the EU. It is essential for mutual trust, which enables effective judicial cooperation in civil and criminal matters between member states. The application of EU law relies not only on the Court of Justice, but also on national courts in the member states. I always say that the national judges are also European judges. The rule of law is also important for the effective functioning of the internal market and for a business and investment-friendly environment. Finally, the rule of law is also an essential component of the EU external policy. The EU will continue to pursue a strong approach on the rule of law in its work with accession and neighborhood countries, as well as in all its external action at bilateral, regional, and also multilateral level. When the rule of law is absent, when it is at risk, there is a concrete impact on every single one of our lives. Without rule of law, equality before the law is only an illusion. The ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has further highlighted the importance of the rule of law and has proven to be a real stress test for the resilience of our societies. It has also underlined how the rule of law has a direct impact on people's daily lives. All member states have taken exceptional measures in order to protect public health, and most have declared some form of public emergency or granted special emergency powers under constitutional provisions or public health protection laws. Reactions to the COVID-19 pandemic showed overall strong resilience of national systems. In many member states, national courts have scrutinized emergency measures, and political and legal debates took place on whether the emergency regimes applied were justified and proportionate, whether decisions taken were lawful, and whether the right procedures and instruments had been used. The Commission has always underlined that responses to the crisis must respect fundamental principles and values set out in the treaties. They must be limited to what is necessary and proportionate, limited in time and subject to oversight by national parliaments and by courts. The Commission has been closely monitoring the application of emergency measures and will continue to do so. For all these reasons, it is important that the European institutions and the member states work closely together and join efforts to uphold the rule of law in the Union. National parliaments play here a very important role. Unfortunately, respect for the rule of law cannot be taken for granted, even within the European Union. Over the past years, we have seen rule of law concerns emerging in certain member states. And these developments have only made the Commission more convinced of the importance of using all the instruments at its disposal to uphold the rule of law. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to you, dear Mrs. Jourová, and then perhaps immediately afterwards, Didier Reinders can.
But thank you, President. It's a pleasure to see you again after our discussions in the Bundestag here yesterday. But it's a pleasure also to be invited by the Cossack with the Vice President Jourová, because as she said, dialogue on the rule of law at national level is one of the central objectives of the rule of law mechanism, and national parliaments in particular play a key role for launching such national debate. COSAC can provide an important platform for this and be a space for mutual learning. Let me start with a few words on the methodology of the report. The preparatory process started at the beginning of this year with the establishment of a network of national rule of law contact points. This was instrumental not only as a constant channel of communication with the member states, but also to discuss the methodology of our report. On this basis, all the member states participated in the process and provided written input. We also carried out a targeted stakeholder consultation where over 200 stakeholders provided written input as well. And we conducted more than 300 virtual country visits, a meeting with member states' national authorities, including with judicial and other independent authorities, and with relevant stakeholders, such as journalist associations. Last but not least, every member state had the opportunity to check its draft country chapter for factual accuracy. What was important for us was the close involvement of all member states on an equal footing. In that respect, I want to stress that our assessment has been informed by widely recognized standards, such as those of the Council of Europe, and also refers to EU law requirements, including the rulings from the European Court of Justice. We made sure that this process was robust, transparent, and as inclusive as possible. But let me also be clear that the final product represents the Commission's own assessment. This takes me to the substance of the report itself. We looked at four key areas: the independence, quality, and efficiency of justice systems, the anti-corruption network, media pluralism and media freedom, and other institutional checks and balances. Firstly, on the independence, quality, and efficiency of justice systems, I'm pleased to see that a number of member states are making efforts to strengthen judicial independence and reduce the influence of the executive or legislative powers over the judiciary. I appreciate the efforts to set up or strengthen independent national councils for the judiciary, for example. But it is also true that judicial independence remains an issue of concern in certain member states. For example, as regards the capacity of councils for the judiciary to exercise their functions. We have also more structural concerns over an increasing influence of the executive and legislative branches on the functioning of the justice systems, including constitutional courts and supreme courts. In terms of quality of justice, the current pandemic has highlighted the importance to accelerate the digitalization of justice. Many initiatives are ongoing to deliver real improvements. These are good practices to share. Investing in justice is also more necessary than ever. It is reassuring that some member states have decided to increase resources dedicated to justice. Let me now move to the anti-corruption framework. I appreciate that several member states have recently adopted new comprehensive anti-corruption strategies or revised existing ones. What will, however, be key is that their strategies are effectively implemented and monitored to ensure that real progress is made on the ground. In some member states, measures have been introduced to strengthen the institutional capacity to fight corruption and to reduce obstacles to effective prosecution. But our monitoring shows concerns in several member states about the effectiveness of the investigation, prosecution, and adjudication of corruption cases. This includes concerns that high-level corruption cases are not systematically pursued. Thirdly, on media pluralism and media freedom. An encouraging finding of our report is that the independence of media authorities is enshrined in law in every member state. That being said, there are worrying signs in some of them with regards to the political influence on the media, a lack of transparency when it comes to media ownership, and risks to journalists and other media actors. The fourth area of our report concerns institutional checks and balances, where national parliaments, of course, play a central role. On the positive side, there is a healthy debate taking place in some member states on strengthening a rule of law culture, including in the parliament. Positive reforms can emerge of such public debates. Also, new channels for citizens to challenge the exercise of executive and legislative power in a number of member states is to be welcomed. The cooperation with international experts and expert bodies, such as the Venice Commission, can contribute to ensure that reforms will comply with European standards. The COVID-19 pandemic has provided some good examples of functioning checks and balances. Parliamentary scrutiny helped frame emergency response. The measures taken were often reviewed by national courts. However, we also identified a number of concerns with regard to checks and balances. In a few member states, we see repeated recourse to expedited legislation in parliament or emergency ordinances from the government. This often raises rule of law concerns. Across the European Union, civil society continues to be a key actor in defending the rule of law. However, in some member states, civil society operates in an unstable environment and is facing challenges such as legislation challenging access to foreign funding or smear campaigns. Now that the report is out, you may ask, where do we go from here? What we want to achieve through this mechanism, with the report at its center, is a deeper dialogue to foster a rule of law culture in all the member states, to prevent problems from emerging or deepening, and to allow member states to learn from each other. We need such a dialogue at EU level with the European Parliament and the Council, and also at national level. Our discussion today is an important step in that regard. And there is a political determination to do this. The German presidency intends to have a rule of law dialogue in the Council based on our report, and the dialogue has already started. We also presented the report earlier this month to the European Parliament, both in the Libe Committee and in the plenary. And I have the firm intention to bring the debate to all European capitals, in particular to national parliaments. It was the case yesterday with the Bundestag, and I'm sure that it will be also the occasion to go further. We had the idea to do the same with the French Assemblée Nationale today, but it was postponed due to the COVID. And I want to say also that we try also to express our solidarity and our condolence after the tragic event of this morning, again in Nice in France, because I know that it's a difficult moment for your French colleagues after such an attacks in France, and we try to be very solidary with them. Thank you very much, and of course I look forward to starting this discussion with you today.
Thank you very much for your statements. Thank you a lot. And I don't want to comment it now. It's up to my dear colleagues. And it's Ria Omen-Ruytjen from the Netherlands who wants to take first the floor. Ria, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
It's great. Yeah, yeah.
Good. Thank you very much for your willingness to host this meeting. And thanks to the commissioners for their introductions. And I know from the media that the job of the commissioners is not an easy one. When I see all the accusations you get. But nevertheless, as you might know, Commissioner Reyners, in the Netherlands and also in the Dutch Senate, we are closely following the rule of
But perhaps you can repeat the last sentence.
Okay, I will do, perhaps. As you might know, in the Netherlands and also in the Dutch Senate, we are following closely the rule of law file. And we are delighted with the commission, with the vast report of the commission on the current state of the rule of law. For some years now, the Dutch Senate holds a recurring debate on the state of the rule of law in the Netherlands. It's a very comprehensive debate that is mostly preceded by expert meetings, and we are happy to share with you commissioners and also with other parliaments to share practices, and perhaps someone does it better as we do. So perhaps it's something for one of the next COSAC meetings. Then I have a question. I understand that the negotiations on the rule of law conditionality within the MFF are still going on also this weekend. I didn't hear something about it. Could you inform us how the rule of law conditionality is intertwined within the rule of law mechanism and how the Commission would like to proceed on this? It's, as the Commissioner stated, rule of law in a member state is of utmost importance because it says everything about the health of the economy and also the well-being of the citizens. Thank you very much, and thanks for an answer.
Thank you very much, Ria. And then it's up to... I would suggest that we collect a little bit our speakers together. That means for the next, it's Emmanuel Maglia from Malta who wants to take the floor. Emmanuel, you can hear me? And please don't forget to switch on your micro. Emmanuel,
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for hosting this meeting, and thank you for the commissioners for their addresses. The Maltese Parliament has supported the idea of a rule of law mechanism as a preventive tool from its inception. The Commission's efforts undertaken to produce this first report are evident in the volume of the reporting. The idea of a preventive tool is important, even more so from the national legislators in this discussion. The credibility and value added of the reporting hinges on full alignment with the principles of equality, objectivity, and non-discrimination among the member states. It therefore goes without saying that the Commission must remain impartial and base itself on evidence, the evidence-based approach. We welcome the due recognition of positive developments found in the report and want to thank the Commission and other stakeholders, such as the Venice Commission, for the advice given and support received throughout this journey. Malta's Parliament has put in a lot of work to carry out unprecedented judicial and institutional reforms. These reforms include, but are not limited to, changes in the appointment of the President of the Republic, judges and magistrates, the Police Commissioner, and the head of the prosecution services. We have made changes to the laws regulating the office of the Ombudsman, as well as the procedures governing the Permanent Commission Against Corruption. These reforms have changed our legal system as we know it since independence. And it was a challenging experience for the National Parliament, as well as for the stakeholders and the Maltese citizens. Adopting these legislative reforms through unanimous agreement in our National Parliament is no small feat. A lot of work has been done, but we note that there are certain challenges that still need to be addressed. In this respect, we remain committed to continue on the path of positive change and improvements. In fact, there are a number of reforms underway, some of which have been agreed on by the Venice Commission, which are being discussed in our national parliament with the aim to further alleviate the rule of law and good governance in our country. Also, the work being carried out at a national level by the President of the Republic for the establishment of a constitutional convention will contribute to further strengthening the rule of law. At the moment, the Malta Police Force is also adopting a transformation strategy, including in its communication, as well as in terms of its economic crimes unit, with all the necessary human and financial resources as provided to it. Cooperation to exchange information, including with Europol, has recently been done, Europol setting an office here in Malta. Lastly, we acknowledge, because I see my time is running out, that no system is perfect and only continuous reforms can meet the governance requirements of an ever-evolving society and increasing multi-dimensional challenges in this regard. The Maltese Parliament look forward to further work and dialogue with the Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much, dear Emmanuel. But for the future, we should respect a little bit more the time, otherwise it will run out at the end. Now it's to Halinka Juhasz from Hungary.
Thank you very much for the possibility. Firstly, I would like to start that preserving the rule of law in the member states is primarily the responsibility of national constitutional institutions. And also the treaties does not confer on the EU general competence to monitor the rule of law. Secondly, regrettably, the Commission's 2020 rule of law report raises serious concern as regards its concept, methodology, sources and content. Sources unbalanced usually, and there is no references to objective benchmarks. For example, compared to Northern European countries and Benelux countries, we see that several sources and topics do not appear in the country's specific chapters, for example, reference to OLAF or European semester. Connection to Hungary, the documents cite several issues where the cases so-called serious concerns already been settled between Hungary and the Commission, so it seems to run counter the principle of legal certainty. Political interpretation of complex legal issues always carries the risk of being misunderstanding and misleading. Unclear how and what general methods and requirements the Commission reacted conclusion on the rule of law situation in each member state. The proper implementation of equal treatment is rather doubtful, and also the report is failed to fulfill to avoid double standards. Finally, I would like to highlight that the rule of law instruments is really serve us if they reinforce the community of or values between the member states instead of driving wedges between us, especially during pandemia. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much to you. And then it's Marietta Giannakou from Greece. It's your turn. Marietta, can you hear me?
Yeah. Thanks to the two commissioners. This initiative about the rule of law is very important. It's a first-class opportunity for a wider debate at the European national level, and it is our democratic duty to respond positively to the call to debate in Parliament, with national authorities, but also with civil society. The participation of national authorities in the convention, national parliaments in the Convention on the Future of Europe, about 2 decades ago, in which I participated, is a useful guide to this direction. Standing up for our fundamental values is a shared responsibility of EU institutions and member states, and all should play their part. European values are not for sale, and I am particularly concerned about the non-completion of the financial negotiations for the next multi-financial framework. I think it is very important what Mr. Reinders said, the relations about the political system and the media. And on this, we have to have a long discussion and to use best practices from one country to the other. So the national parliament has to continue this dialogue with the two commissioners, and on the other side, help the commissioners to take the necessary initiatives if something is not going well in the member state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jetta. And then it's Luis from Portugal, Luis Capula Santos. Please, Luis, take the floor.
Dear colleagues, good morning. I would like to start by thanking Gunther and Guido for holding this meeting and congratulate them on the way they have ensured the functioning of COSAC in such difficult conditions. Your work is a good inspiration for the future Portuguese presidency, as, unfortunately, the short-term prospects regarding the COVID-19 pandemic are not encouraging. I would also to congratulate the European Commission in the person of Vice President Jourova and Commissioner Reinders for the excellent report on the rule of law in the European Union as a very sensitive and complex task. The rule of law is a foundation of the European Union on which there can be no transience. The Portuguese Parliament has not yet had the opportunity to debate the report. We will do so in the short term with the attention and depth it deserves. Fortunately, in Portugal, the improvement of the justice system, the anti-corruption framework, the freedom and pluralism of the media, and the balance of powers are matters that deserve a great political consensus that I'm sure will be translated into concrete actions to improve the rule of law in Portugal. I hope that at European level we will be able to influence in the same direction. Thank you.
Luis, thank you very much, and thank you also for your kind words. Then it's Mrs. Crețu from the Romanian Senate. Mrs. Crețu, please.
Thank you very much, Vice President, Commissioner, colleagues. I did agree with the European Commission President when saying that rule of law protects citizens against the law of the most powerful. But who is the most powerful? This is a question we have to answer together in a necessary future debate in COSAC, perhaps. Romanian Senate welcome the new General European Report for each and every member state, replacing or extending former CBMs for Romania and Bulgaria for many reasons. CBM was perceived by many citizens as being discriminatory, and it was a main argument for increasing Eurosceptic views in my country. As an European federalist, I am very much concerned about this trend. Then more or less 3 million Romanians used to live in other member states and preserving their human and social rights and access to justice is important for us. And on the other side, CVM it has lost for long its role because of being used in a very dividing manner. Instead of preserving separation of power and their loyal cooperation and providing the balance of powers, it was only a kind of political weapon. Electoral campaigns being replaced by a fight between authorities in the state, with citizens being victims. But analyzing the new report, however, the Senate is still worried that nothing changed about a few aspects we have already stressed in our dialogue many times before. Transparency of the sources of information. The correspondence between the data and reality. As a member of the parliament, I'd like to fix our mistakes, if there are mistakes, but I cannot because it's nothing concrete there. Only some politically motivated interpretations, but nothing concrete. There are not any clear criteria for assessing the rule of law as long as European treaties and national constitutions are observed, of course. Independence of judiciary was defined only regarding politically elected bodies. The economic power and deep state influence look like being acceptable and in judiciary and in media, and they are not, I believe. A democratic elected representative can be corrupted. Yes, they can, but appointed members in judiciary or in media can be as well. And the danger of fake news in mainstream media is real. Look, this period of epidemic. Perhaps as everybody is now, to pay attention that the rule of law, our democracy, is dictatorship. And democracy without rule of law is mere anarchy, is important for everybody. We need both and a balance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Gabriela Kretsou. And then it's up to Mark Demesmaeker from the Belgian Senate.
Yes, hello to all of you. I hope the connection is okay. I can say that that me and my party support any effort to strengthen and improve the rule of law within the European Union. We support the creation of a more effective EU mechanism for democracy, fundamental rights and the rule of law. And we believe that the challenges can be tackled by a multifaceted approach, including dialogue and peer-to-peer review, and we can all learn from each other. Now, reading the chapter of my own country, of course, one can recognize a number of challenges, and it confirms the challenges still to be tackled, like the urgent need to improve the level of digitalization in our system. But it's also encouraging to read a good Flemish practice in the main report, the Flemish Association of Journalists and the Hotline for Physical or Verbal Aggression Against Journalists. As a former journalist, it's a topic that I cherish a lot, ensuring that member states have and keep a free press that is protected from intimidation is essential for any democracy. Now, colleagues, after the Second World War, we decided that we would act and work together according to shared values. And these values can never become optional. And Europe cannot afford that some countries think that they are untouchable. A report like this should be and can be a preventive mechanism, but there is an important condition. That condition is that the situation in all member states is mapped correctly, on equal footing, using objective criteria, not only focusing on those member states with known serious problems, the usual suspects. And I'm afraid to say, I regret to say that the report defaults exactly there. In my country, in Belgium, we have welcomed persecuted politicians, exiles from Spain, from Catalonia. I can speak about it because they live among us here as free EU citizens, but they cannot return to their homes in another EU member state. Others who chose to stay in Spain have been convicted to long sentences for organizing a vote. Amongst them also civil society leaders for organizing peaceful demonstrations. The UN report on arbitrary detention has files regarding political prisoners in only one EU member state, in Spain. You have completely disregarded these facts in the report, despite the fact that a number of stakeholders were Catalan institutions and civil society organizations covering these topics. Mr. Reinders, you said in an interview a couple of days ago, beginning of this month in El País, they are not in the report because we do not consider them to be a systematic problem. It is an internal problem of Spain. And you echo what former commissioners have always said, and I had hoped on another approach, but okay. But if you look back 120 years, every Catalan president, with the exception of two, have been deposed, imprisoned, exiled, and one even assassinated by the Spain's authorities. And you say the problems are not systematic, really? Sweeping problems under the carpet, what this report does regarding to this problem, makes things worse. Since it was drafted, and the president of the Catalan government, another one, the sitting president, again has been deposed. Just yesterday, new arbitrary detentions were taking place, including businessmen. And in an interview a couple of days ago, Politico, there was an article with the title "Spain's Judiciary in the Dock." In the dock. I won't say more. It's all there. So my message is important to stop using double standards in order to build credibility for the totality of the report. Thank you.
Mark, thank you very much. And then it's Bogdan Klich from Poland. Bogdan, can you hear me?
Hello. How are you?
If the hello comes from Poland, then I can see you and I can hear you, Bogdan. Please, great, go ahead. But perhaps you can use the micro or a headset. That would be
all
useful.
All right. Do you hear me right now? Not yet.
Shout, really shout. Shout in the micro.
All right.
Then it will be perfect.
Will be better.
Much more better.
Great. Thank you so much for hosting this this meeting, and thanks a lot for organizing this meeting right now. This is a very important moment for my country, and I guess that also for our community in Europe, because what's going on right now in my country, I mean this wave of big demonstrations, the biggest wave of demonstrations since 2017, when we had public protests, you know, against the destruction of independence of Polish judiciary. This wave of demonstration is one of the aspects of the rule of law in Poland. Of course, it is based on the decision, on the judgment of the Constitutional Court of October the 22nd, this one that undermined and destroyed the abortion compromise that we had in my country since 1993. But this wave of demonstration is not only devoted to this particular issue, very important issue for ladies and for families, but it also has several political demands, and one of them, it is to return to the rule of law in my country. This rule of law guarantees and institutions that were destroyed during last 5 years. I undermine that because the report that we are talking about right now is the crucial instrument that we can use in future, trying to compare the state of the rule of law institutions and guarantees in various European countries with the same methodology. So the value of this report is that it is comprehensive, that the methodology is the same, and that we can compare what is going on in various parts of the European Union. I would, I guess, and I would hope that such reports would lead to the regular assessments, regular reviews of the state of this fundamental value for the European Union in future. And I would prefer if it would be a basis for institutional mechanisms of coordination between European funds and the rule of law assessment. So from this perspective, from this point of view, it could play the crucial role for conditionality between European funds and the rule of law respect in all the member states of the European Union. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then I can continue with Konstantinos Estatiou from Cyprus. Konstantinos, please go ahead.
Can you hear me? Thank you.
We can hear you, but I...
Yes, thank you. Dear colleague, I would like to thank the German presidency for organizing this exchange of views, especially Mrs. Jourova and Mr. Reinertz, as well the commissioners for being with us today. The rule of law is a...
Konstantinos, sorry for interrupting you. We have a technical problem. We can't see you at the moment. Well, but anyway, perhaps it's also possible for you to speak a little bit louder.
Okay. Okay.
And still see Bogdan here.
The continuous control. Yes. The continuous control evaluation of the state of the rule of law at the national level presupposes that our societies are in a position to diagnose and prevent any shortcomings. This evaluation must primarily come from within, yet the issuance of the annual rule of law of the by European Commission will come to assist member states by providing a source of information by institutional actors, namely legislators and the executive and citizens alike. This is an excellent preventive and at the same time monitoring mechanism which has to be applied. It is significant that the present rule of law report is structured in these four pillars that are intrinsically linked with fundamental rights: administration of justice, the anti-corruption fight, the protection of media freedom, and the adoption of a system providing checks and balances of the institutions involved. There is no doubt that these pillars interact, but what really matters is that the law legally adopted is effectively and indiscriminately applied to all citizens and enforced under a system permitting that an effective control is exercised to all actors and authorities involved. The problem which really matters is that is not the adoption of the legislation, but its effective application. This situation concerns us all, especially my country, Cyprus, recently hit by tides of corrupt misuse of power. As parliamentarians, we need to consider applying and advocate the principles and priorities emanating as well as the information given and conclusions of the report. After all, the rule of law is our common added value and needs our respect. Thank you very much.
Konstantinos, thank you. I don't know if the camera was switched on, but anyway, we could hear you. That was perfect. And now it's up to Sergio Battelli from Italy. And Sergio, first we check the technique. Can you see us? Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Sergio, but at the moment I can't see you, and we try to check the technique here. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You can continue, Sergio.
Nee, das Mikro ist bei ihm an. Das sehe ich ja leuchten. Sergio, you can go ahead. If you can hear me, you can start. It seems for me that he can't hear me.
Can you hear the interpreter? Can you hear?
Now, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Can you hear it? Okay. Okay, we start again.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the interpreter speaking. Senator Battello speaking. The interpreter is translating. Thank you very much, Mr. Kirschbaum. Thank you very much for the hospitality. It's a great pleasure to see you all here again, although we are meeting virtually. And human rights compliance in a democracy and compliance with the state, with the rule of law, is a fundamental value in our common identity, a value we must preserve and defend. We have standard values in the European Union that are important worldwide as concerns the compliance with the rule of law. This report is very important to measure and to fine-tune the health of one of the fundamental values of our democracies. This report gives us the opportunity to stimulate a constructive debate on these issues, and the involvement of national parliaments is crucial and should unfold in the various stages of the yearly cycle, the yearly round of monitoring. I would like to submit a proposal to have a parliamentary session, an ad hoc parliamentary session on the rule of law, in addition to the need to have interparliamentary conferences on this issue. And this proposal had already been made in the past, but I believe that if we exchange views between among national parliaments, we can develop new synergies for the benefit of the consideration of this important value. And this could lead to the development of initiatives at national level, and also could establish within the European dialogue between European institutions and national parliaments, we could develop a broader interparliamentary discussion. So thank you very much, and hope you can accept my proposal and enjoy the meeting.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad that you worked with the So then it's up to Ireland. Joe McHugh, please.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. I just want to thank the organizers for this is a very important meeting, and also it's very informative. Can I also acknowledge Vera Jourova and the work that Vera is doing on the Conference on the Future of Europe? And I think that Conference in Europe will act as a very, very good mechanism for the debate on the rule of law. And certainly at a national level, and my role as chair of the EU Affairs Committee, we'll be beginning that engagement very shortly. So look, just rather than going over old ground from the previous speaker, I think the previous speaker actually gave me a good basis for the question that I have. In order for us to develop a full understanding of the rule of law and in the context of democratic participation at a national level, what role do you see what role do you foresee for national parliaments to enable this participation and help us with this issue as it evolves? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. And then it's Juan Fernando López Aguilar from Spain, please. From the European Parliament, sorry.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the German presidency. Thank you, Commissioner Reinders, for bringing us together for this important gathering. I'm actually representing here the European Parliament, the LIDE Committee, which is the committee in charge of liberties, which means fundamental rights, rule of law, democracy, justice, and the home affairs. We do care, particularly in times of crisis. So I find it of the essence that we come to learn all together, representatives of the European Parliament, representing the European citizens directly, democratically elected, and democratically elected members of Parliament, of the national parliaments of all the member states, that rule of law, fundamental rights, and democracy are no longer the sole jurisdiction of the member states. It's a European issue. And particularly in times of crisis, particularly in times of COVID, where all measures are to be proportionate, necessary to protect public health, and time-framed, because, as I said, there is law in place. There is actual European law in place based on the resolutions that we have been adopted ever since 2016. We welcome the first annual report that has been delivered on the situation of rule of law by Commissioner Reinders, examining the situation in all of the member states. And just recently, in October, we adopted an EU pact reinforcing union values, providing for strong interinstitutional cooperation, which means European Parliament along with the national parliaments, other instruments in this field, MFF conditionality with rule of law, which means that member states are to be accessed to funds when complying with rule of law, fundamental rights, and democratic principles of the European Union, and an annual cycle reflecting on an annual exchange with national parliaments, which is exactly the gathering we're having right now. In this view, I finalize 10 November. Libe is organizing an interparliamentary committee involving national parliaments in the first annual rule of law report by the Commission and the role of national parliaments, so that we can put together all of the EU institutions, the Council of Europe, the Fundamental Rights Agency, civil society representatives, other stakeholders, talking about rights and law and democracy, counting on a strong participation of national parliaments in this meeting, stressing the Commission rule of law report and dialogue with your parliaments, your chambers, the national houses across the parliamentary landscape of the member states of the European Union, because we want to give birth to create a real rule of law culture to be vivid and EU values to be fully respected all across the European Union landscape at a European level and member states level alike, working together. Thank you for this opportunity to talk.
Thank you very much, Juan, and thank you very much, the European Parliament. Then it's Tomáš Valašek from Slovak Republic.
Many thanks for the opportunity to speak, and apologies for joining you later than I originally.
Oh, perhaps you can speak a little bit louder.
Sure.
It's possible.
Can you hear me now? Is this fine? Is this better?
It's getting better, yeah.
Good. Well, let me restart quickly. Many thanks for the opportunity to speak, and it's a pleasure to be with you. I come from a political party and I'm part of a government that came to power in Slovakia with the explicit promise and explicit mandate from the voters to improve the rule of law in Slovakia. This was in reaction to the previous government's failure, or rather tolerance, for corruption in the judiciary, corruption in the police circles, corruption in the highest levels of the political circles. So, of course, naturally, both as a country and as a government, we are fully behind this current push, current effort to improve the rule of law across the European Union, to better monitor it. We support the linking of the disbursement of EU funds to the rule of law situation in the given recipient country. The concern we have is one, or the another concern, but the one issue that I feel the need to call to your attention is with the definition of the rule of law as it is currently, so most frequently used. It focuses on the independence of a judiciary, which is, of course, at the core of a healthy rule of law situation, but isn't necessarily the whole sum and the total sum of what represents rule of law. The situation we face in Slovakia is one of the judiciary itself having been fairly thoroughly corrupted by the previous government. In fact, there are, as we speak, by latest count, I think 17 judges who are currently in prison and awaiting court date, because they are found either corresponding or most directly colluding with some of the best-known mobsters who have controlled the political underbelly of this country. The concern we have is, of course, easy to understand. We believe that when you narrow the question of rule of law to the independence of a judiciary, one doesn't actually take into account the possibility that the judiciary itself may have been source of the frustration and of the deformation. My own personal sense is integrity of the judiciary would be perhaps a better definition than independence of the judiciary, because it takes into account the responsibility of the judges themselves to uphold the rule of law in the country, which is something that has patently failed to happen in Slovakia over the past few years. But having said that, with that caveat again, the effort to improve the monitoring of rule of law has our full support. We have come to power as a government and as a party with the express purpose of improving the rule of law situation in Slovakia. And we applaud the commissioner, both commissioners, in their present efforts. I look forward to our continued cooperation with them. Thank you.
Thomas, thank you very much. And then it's Domagoj Hajduković from Croatia.
Thank you, Gunta. Allow me to use this opportunity to thank especially to my dear friend Gunta, but also to German presidency for allowing us to have this debate on this very important report. First of all, I wanted to commend the effort and the work of the Commission put in drafting this report. Indeed, this report is an invaluable resource for us national lawmakers. I'm happy to inform you, dear colleagues, that we have already debated this report at the session of the Committee of European Affairs of Croatian Parliament, enlarged with chairpersons of other committees who were interested in the debate. It was very vibrant and fruitful debate, and I do encourage you all, dear colleagues, to have similar debates in your national parliaments, because I think it can help both the position and the opposition, of course, in our work. We are enthusiastic about future reports, which will allow us to evaluate progress in keeping the rule of law and taking necessary steps to preserve it and to improve it. So we are looking forward to the future debates we shall have on this issue, and maybe the proposition of the Italian colleague is something to consider. Maybe a special session of the COSAC in the future can be held with the single topic, and that is the rule of law in our union. Thank you very much, and greetings from sunny Zagreb.
Domagoj, thank you very much from the, and especially the greetings from the sunny Zagreb here in Berlin. It's a little bit cloudy, not to say rainy, but fortunately you can stay in Zagreb where the sun is shining. Well, that's a real alternative in these days. Now it's once again Italy who wants to take the floor. Dario Stefano from the Senate, please.
Passiamo la parola al senatore Stefano.
Mr. Kirschbaum, good afternoon, colleagues. This is the first time for me that I take part in a COSAC meeting, and I'm doing this in a virtual setting, and my hope is that we'll be able to meet again soon in live, because that will mean we'll have overcome this very difficult pandemic, which is hitting the whole of Europe and the whole world. The European Union is not just an internal market, as the EU has brilliantly proved in the last few months. We are a reality based on fundamental rights, democracy, and the rule of law. Sanction mechanisms are in place, as those under Article 7 of the treaty or under infringement procedures, but there are also mechanisms in place for cooperation for preventive dialogue, like the rule of law mechanism, which is our focus here. We prefer dialogue, which of course can establish experiences and benchmarks within the Union, and also because it is the best way to understand our diversities, share good practices, discuss problems, and consider them in a wider European framework. The treaty mentions respect for the constitutional identities of each member state, respect for common constitutional traditions, and respect for common values, which must be complied with before accession to the Union and also during a country's stay in the Union. Now, given the short time I have, I would like to focus on one crucial issue in order to support the proposal made by a colleague. Over the last couple of weeks, the pandemic has hit harder, and our governments are taking measures to contain the spread of the virus. This, of course, may greatly curb the freedoms enshrined in our constitutions and that our generations have enjoyed since the end of World War II. The Commission's report focuses on this issue and highlights how important it is to make sure that the present and urgent health decisions should not override the existing systems of checks and balances, including parliamentary oversight. I fully share you, and I'm persuaded that the measures taken by governments are justifiable in the present exceptional circumstances only if they comply with these five requirements. They must be proportionate, temporary, they must be approved by Parliament, they must be subject to judicial review, and five, they must be coordinated with the positions of the European Union, or at least they should be in line with the positions of the European Union. Now, given the importance of this issue, I hope we'll soon be able to go back to discussing the rule of law in all its aspects, judicial systems, anti-corruption networks, media pluralism, balance of power, and there are other issues as well, which I'm sure can be included following these early discussions. But one very last point before I wrap up. It's the point on the rule of law and the Union's budget. On October the 13th, here in the Senate in Rome, we passed a resolution on the recovery plan. And in that document, we stressed that the Union should always demand compliance with the values on which it is founded, as enshrined in Article 2 of the Treaty on the European Union. That is to say, respect for human dignity, freedom, democracy, equality, the rule of law, and respect for human rights. Now, this is the essential element, also in consideration of the efforts and the goals under the plan that looks with hope and confidence at new European generations. And this future can only be based on the framework of rights and freedoms, which are synonyms with the idea of Europe and with its vocation to unity. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. And now I have no more requests of colleagues who want to take the floor. So if you agree and with your consent, I would like to close the list of the speakers. And before I would like to give the floor to Mrs. Jourova, only one short comment from my side. I break myself a little bit this afternoon, but when I heard in one comment, rule of law is laying in the national responsibility. No, that's only one side of the coin. There's a backside. The backside means, but the Commission can speak for its own. But citizens are not in Europe, are not only citizens of the national state of the member states. They are at the same point of time citizens of the European Union. And look on Article 20 of our treaty. There it is written very clearly, these citizens have rights. And then it's the duty of the European Commission to monitor, to supervise if the treaty is respected by each member state. That's the reality. We are living in one European Union, but sure, these citizens, they have their rights. Otherwise, it would be a fraud for that, because these citizens could not benefit from the fruits of being member of the European Union. But now, this is more the task of Mrs. Jourova or of Didier Reinders to emphasize it. And I don't know who wants to make the beginning, but I would suggest, Vera Jourova, perhaps you can start.
Thank you very much. I will cover several points, and the most difficult ones I will leave to Didier, if you agree, because he is leading on the process of preparing the rule of law report, and there were a lot of useful comments, but also questions on the methodology and the channels and the inclusiveness and transparency and equal footing, which was mentioned several times. So I will leave it for Didier to reply. And thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for your comment, because because this is exactly what I wanted to say at the beginning of my concluding remarks, that indeed this is a shared competence, but the Article 2 speaks clearly. And when I not look only at the legal division of competencies, I think that if a rule of law doesn't work in 1, 2, 3 member states, the fabric of the EU will be damaged. I think that some years ago we agreed on the rule of law as the basic principle, which we all respect. And because we experienced some unpleasant surprises in the past, where we saw that there were developments in some member states which raised concerns, we definitely realized that we need to enrich our toolbox by new instruments. And this is exactly what we speak about today, about the rule of law report, which is a preventive tool, and about the conditionality between the rule of law and EU budget, which is now in the negotiation process. I will come back to the conditionality in a minute, but let me still stay with the general remarks. Well, as we heard from Portugal and some other very valuable contributions, and I want to thank you all for your contributions, because this is giving us a good picture of opinions, but also encouragement to continue this discussion with you. So some of you mentioned that we are dealing here with very sensitive and complex issue. Indeed, we have 27 member states and we have 27 unique systems. The checks and balances, which depend on the setup and powers of the institutions, which should work well together in good accord and good as a well functioning, if you may allow me to use technical word, a well functioning machine. And although we can use some best practices from other member states, we always have to consider the whole constitutional architecture, because it has to be seen as a complete thing. And some of you also said that none of the systems is perfect. We are the whole our lives, maybe we are directing somewhere to perfection, but let's be realistic, there will always be some gaps, and that's why we also wanted to address some of the gaps in some member states. And on the comment which we heard from Hungary and also Netherlands, about the equal footing, and we proposed to issue, publish this annual report also after what we heard from Poland and Hungary many times, that we should not only look at them, we should look at all the member states, and we should compare the systems and define the gaps. And we honestly tried to do that. We were transparent from the beginning about the methodology, but I will leave this indeed to Didier to speak about that. We are focusing in the report, of course, first of all, on functioning judiciary, and I want to react on what we heard from Slovakia. Well, yes, the definition we use is focusing a lot on judiciary. And the problem in a member state can be also that judiciary system is seen by the public as the source of injustice. And this requires reform. And we never said that impartiality and independence of judiciary also means untouchability of judiciary. And we always are encouraging the member states to introduce the reforms which will set better balance between judiciary system and other two powers, because the proper distribution of power must be accompanied with proper distribution of responsibility. This is the core thing. That's why we are encouraging the member states to introduce reforms. I recognized also when I was in Warsaw this year in January, I said, well, when you see low trust of the people to judiciary system, well, and when you see the gaps, the reform is needed. But the reform must not go that far that, in fact, we see the politicization of judiciary system. This is what we try to address. Last two comments regarding money. Also to show that money is not the first thing, but important thing. I hope we have adopted the new budget, including the recovery fund, there is a very good space for the member states to use this recovery money for good, smart, well thought through and communicated judiciary reforms, including digitalization and modernization of judiciary. And I do hope the ministers of justice are aware of that, because justice has never been a traditional sphere for massive EU financing. And now we see here a very good chance for the member states to use the recovery funding for that. So that's on positive side concerning the money. On maybe more sensitive side, the conditionality. I was informed that today was the fourth round of negotiations of the rule of law conditionality, which didn't reach the compromise. So the negotiations will continue. We are in a very sensitive moment. That's why maybe both Didier and me were carefully silent about that in our opening speeches, because we want to work to let our colleagues from the Commission, the negotiators work as honest brokers and as those who can also help to achieve good compromise. Compromise which will not be at the expense of applicability and efficiency of the tool. We do not want any further Article 7 trap, yeah, which doesn't lead anywhere. We need a functioning system. We owe it to the taxpayers. It was a long awaited that we will give the taxpayers a better guarantee that the EU money, which is always accompanied by big ethos and solidarity, will not end up in the pockets of some or in the pockets of the families of influential people and friends and so on. We cannot afford this moral hazard anymore. So there was a very strong reason why we proposed this conditionality. We hope it will start to apply with the new budget, because as I said, we need such instrument to be added in our toolbox. And I promise last two comments. For Romania and CVM, we are now in transition period, you know. So there are still works to do and things to do, both in Bulgaria and in Romania. Well, I was sorry about the turbulences in Romania, which caused that the reforms were stopped or somehow hampered. And this also showed that what we want to see in the member states, that the reforms will result in a robust system, which will not be volatile and which will not be easy to stop or easy victims of political turbulences. And that's why I wish Romania and Bulgaria to continue the work under CVM. And I hope we will see soon that they will be only assessed in the future by the rule of law mechanism. Last comment on Italian proposal to devote more time and energy for communication. If it weren't for COVID, believe me, I would be happy to go to the member states, to go to the national parliaments, to have an honest and open discussion about the rule of law and related things like fundamental rights and media pluralism. I am sure I speak also on behalf of Didier on that, because we really think that the intensive communication about this can help us to give this preventive tool better strength and better understanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Vice President Vera Jourova. And then we have another short 10 minutes, because afterwards I have to make some announcements for some final remarks. And now it's to Commissioner Didier Reynders.
Thank you, President. I want you to be brief. So just to say, first of all, that we have seen with such a discussion that it's very important to open a political debate about the rule of law. And when we are doing that with the parliaments, of course, we are doing that not only with the majority, but also with the opposition. And it was very clear in the discussion today. But we will also go to the civil society, of course, and to different other organizations. First of all, I want to say that we are very open to continue the discussion also about the best practices. It's what I said by Greece. Of course, it's very important to give an example of the media, that we try to exchange the best practices to protect pluralism and media freedom. And we have for the moment very many concerns about the attacks, like I said, against the journalists and media actors, but why not to organize sometimes a discussion about the best practices and the positive development, because to not give the impression that you are just working on the negative evolutions. But just some comments. First, about the methodology again, because I've heard different comments on the benchmark and the different standards that we are using. Of course, we are using the benchmark standards coming from the treaties first, the Article 2 of the treaty. We are using a benchmark coming from the Council of Europe, and we are all members of the Council of Europe, and we try so to have an accession of the European Union to the Council of Europe. And we are using the benchmark, the standards coming from the case law of the European Court of Justice and the European Court for Human Rights. And so it's the same for Hungary, from the Netherlands, and from all the member states. I want to insist on this. And it's very clear in the report. We have a real correct application of the same standards for all the different participants in such an exercise. And again, we have had a very good collaboration of all the member states. Of course, when there are good evolutions, we are saying that. I've said that to Malta, because it's true that since the beginning of this year, we have worked a lot with Malta about reforms in the judiciary and reforms also in other fields. Of course, it's not because there are some reforms for the moment that we are not saying with the Venice Commission that it's needed to have new steps to go further and to go forward and to have a correct implementation of the reforms. I don't want to say anything about the CVM, where I've said what the situation is. Just about the conditionality, one word, because we, of course, we continue to discuss in the trilogue about the conditionality. We want to have an very efficient mechanism to have a link between the protection of the budget and the rule of law. I want to have also the opportunity today to say some words about the other protection of the budget. It's against fraud, abuses, corruption. I mean, with, for the first time, investigation and prosecutions at the European level with the European Public Prosecutor Office. And I want to remind you that we need to have some implementation of the regulation of the EPPO in some member states. We are late with some parliaments. So if I may, I take the opportunity to remind that, because after 3 years, normally, it was normal to have a correct implementation of the regulation. And we have some problems for the moment in some member states. So please pay attention to a correct implementation of all the elements about the EPPO. And then we will continue to work on different specific issues. I want to confirm the situation maybe about Spain, because it was reached by the Belgian Parliament. The Commission considered that the situation in Spain is an internal matter for Spain, to be dealt with in line with the Spanish constitutional order. And the Commission fully respect the Spanish constitutional order, including the decision of its judiciary. It's not new. It was all the time the same comment, also from different governments in Europe and from the European Commission, and including, if I may, the Belgian government. But that's another issue. One word maybe about the situation in Poland. Of course, we try to go further with our allies like with other member states. But I want to insist on the fact that we are open to use all the instruments at our disposal. So here it's a preventive tool, and we want to discuss with the parliaments and with different stakeholders about the rule of law. But when it's needed, we are going to the court, and we are going to the Court of Justice with infringement proceedings. Or we are going, it was a decision of the Commission, we are going to the Council with the Article 7 procedure. It was a choice of the Commission to do that about the situation in Poland. It was the choice of the Parliament to do that about the situation in Hungary. So, of course, there are some links. Just one word about the actual situation in Poland about abortion, because, of course, you know that it's not EU competence. The legislation is in the hands of the member states. But we have expressed some concern in the report and in the Article 7 procedure about the independence and the legitimacy of the Polish Constitutional Tribunal. And now we see that we have some difficulties with some decisions of the Polish Tribunal. And I want just to remind you the declaration of the President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, about a strong women's rights, because the strong women's rights are an asset for the European Union. And it's very important to contribute to maintain such an achievement for all the women in the European Union. So, of course, it's possible to take many other examples. I want just to conclude my reaction, saying that it's very important that we are continuing the discussion. I said we are very open to do that with the open institutions. So we were going to the Genève Council to have a first general debate. We'll go back to the Genève Council to have a peer review on five member states in the next meeting of the Genève Council. I will say that it will be with Belgium, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Denmark, and Estonia. Of course, we'll continue to do that. And thanks to the Portuguese presidency, I want to say that because I've listened carefully to the comments coming from Portugal. Of course, we'll continue to do the job during the next presidencies because it's the first annual report. And we want to have a general debate. We want to have a peer review member state by member state. But we'll come next year with the second one. And it will be a permanent debate on the rule of law. It's that the goal, to install a real culture of the rule of law. And we are doing that with the Genève Council. We are doing that with the European Parliament. And I want to say to the president of the Libe Committee that we are very open to continue also with a peer review. So a so-called peer review may be an analyzed country by country in the European Parliament. But it's also very important to organize that with the national parliament. And so I agree on the proposal coming from Italy to say, why not specific meetings on the rule of law with the Cossack? I'm hoping to go to all the national parliaments. And thanks to you, it was possible, President, to organize also a discussion yesterday with the Bundestag on the rule of law report. Because, of course, we need to pay attention to all the member states. But it's very important to be ready to discuss about the national situation. We have published a report with 27 country chapters. So, of course, it's important to discuss about the situation in the other member states. But we need also to be ready to discuss about the concerns that we have in each and every one member state with the national parliament. And again, if it's possible to do that by video, it's fine. It would be better, like you have said by Vera, to go physically to the national parliament, but with the COVID-19, it's maybe more complicated for the moment. But again, we want to install a culture of the rule of law, and so we want to be sure that we will have now a permanent debate about the rule of law at the EU level, but also in all the member states, with you, and also with the civil society. So thanks, if it's possible, through your participation also to have a real contact with civil society in the 27 member states. But I want to stop because you need to have 2 or 3 minutes to make some announcements. So I don't want to perturb you in such a way. So thanks a lot for the opportunity for Vera and myself to come to discuss with you. And again, we'll be very pleased to go more in detail about some elements of the report with the Cossack and, of course, in the different national parliaments.
Thank you very much. Once again, Mrs. Vice President Vera Jourova, and thank you, Didier. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner Reinders, for your remarks. I want to say it also in the name of Mrs. Vogt, in the name of the Bundesrat, but especially also of the Bundestag. Then only one, a few final remarks. Not concerning now the rule of law, but I know that Sabine Thilai could not join at the very beginning this meeting, so I want to say only one sentence to the horrible terror attack we had to observe this morning in Nizza, in Nice. So, en français, j'aimerais m'adresser mes mots maintenant en français. Nous sommes vraiment très touchés par l'attaque terroriste et horrible ce matin à Nice et pensons évidemment aux familles des victimes et au peuple français. Et j'aimerais dire aussi, nous sommes à votre côté, à vos côtés. It seemed that are really turbulent times we have at the moment, but when we have then also see what happens, not only with the corona crisis, but these circumstances, and also what we had recently to observe in Paris, that's horrible, and that it's also necessary that we show our solidarity to France in this case, because that are also our values. To protect the freedom and the freedom of opinion, and so that are core values of our European Union. Then I told you also to make one or several short remarks concerning our next COSAC meeting. Sure, we are not living in normal times, and so it cannot be a normal COSAC. So it's necessary to adapt the framework, and I was also in a close contact with my friends in Portugal and in Croatia with Luis and with Domagoj, and we agreed also that we have to adapt the format. It will be a virtual a COSAC a conference, and yesterday I think also you got the invitation and the documents. And sure, when I say we have to adapt it, that means also that I'm fully aware that this kind of COSAC, like we have to do it now, is not fixed in the procedure rules. Sure, not because the procedure rules were done in normal times. But if we have not normal times, then it's necessary to show also a certain pragmatism that guarantees that we can do it, that we can handle it. And that means, first, we want to involve so much and many delegates as possible. So what you know from former times, it cannot be a discussion like in a plenary room. That's normal. But anyway, we can do it like we did it now also with this short conference concerning the rule of law. Also, this type of conference will not be seen in the procedure rules of the COSAC, but we did it. And I think these exchanges are worthwhile. And so I'm also very proud that I can announce Mrs. Vestager for a meeting like we did it now on the 23rd of November at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The invitation will reach you, I think, in the next days. Also, one short remark to the languages. Normally, we can offer all the languages. Quite sure that are that's what we know from the COSAC, but like it was also done this afternoon in Rome by you, Sergio, and your colleague by Dario. Then the translation has to be done in the capitals. We can, for technical reasons, we can only offer English, French, and German. That has technical reasons, but due to the circumstances, we try to do the very best. One remark is important for me. If possible, please use headsets. please use headsets because the quality of the sound is much more better when you can use it. Also for your colleagues, because I think you want to be understood. That's the reason why you're taking the floor. And then we should use all the technical possibilities we can have. Also, what I announced already in the COSAC chairpersons meeting, once again, we have to adapt the format. We will not have conclusions or contributions. So these colleagues who have a certain experience in COSAC chairpersons meetings, or better to say afterwards when we are at the end of our plenary discussions, when we are discussing these contributions and conclusions, sometimes it's my impression we are discussing for each full stop, question mark, point, or double point, or something else. Well, sometimes these discussions are also a little bit exhausting, I have to confess. But anyway, this cannot be done in a virtual format. That's impossible. And so that's also the reason why we have to refuse on the COSAC contributions and conclusions. But anyway, we will do it in these difficult times. I think this exchange among us is more important than ever before. More important because the virus does not need a passport. And so to come closer together in these difficult times is very, very important. And so it remains for me to say thank you. Thank you that you joined this afternoon. Whenever you have some advices, you want to criticize anything, or you have proposals, please don't hesitate to address to me personally, and then we will do the very best. So hopefully I did not forget something, but stay healthy, and I'm looking forward seeing you soon again. And all the best for a successful afternoon, evening, whatever, and hope to see you soon again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the hospitality, for the organization. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody. Didier, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye, Günther. Oh,